Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited because tonight we will be starting a new episode, First Kings. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. And the host has even set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using, and I thank you for them and ask you to continue to provide them for me. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, through James, his half-brother, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth it not, but you will ask if you ask correctly. That's taken from James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. The promise is that you're going to receive wisdom if you ask God for it correctly. Jesus said again, and behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. That's taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 12 and 13. The reward, my brothers and sisters, is that you will, or the blessing is that you will receive a reward as you work accordingly. Jesus said again, blessed is that servant to whom his Lord, when he returneth, so fine doing. And that's taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 43. And again, the blessing, my brothers and sisters, is that God will give you a reward for the diligent work that you are doing. But don't get caught unawares. And that is key. So the question again for this hour is, are you standing on Jesus Christ's promises? Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, before we go to the lesson, well, I always emphasize this, that the Bible is written in code. I must suggest or declare this every time we meet, because I want you to realize, more especially those who may be just joining us, that the code has to be broken before you get an understanding of what is being said by Jesus Christ and God. And the code is written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. Why it is so pertinent that we study and learn. And that's what we're doing together. Okay, now let's go to the study. Let's go to 1 Kings. Turn your Bible sources to 1 Kings, and we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I relate the or read the text to you. Abishag, the Shunammite, administers to King Solomon before he dies. The instruction is Abishag, the Shunammite, administers to King David before he dies. Listen to what 1 Kings chapter 1 tells us about this. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, let there be sought for, my lord, the king, a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that thy lord, the king, may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all of the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him. But the king knew her not. Now this is the story of the end of the life of King David. And of course we know we have several versions of this, even in our particular canon, King James Version, where the Chronicles will give extra information or different information about what happened to King David at the end of his life. So this is what 1 Kings is telling us. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 42 through verse 45, and this is similar. This is the complement, and this is what happened to Jesus Christ before he died, my precious brothers and sisters. Listen to what Luke chapter 22, verse 42 Luke chapter 22, verse 42 through 45 says, Father, this is Jesus talking, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. My precious brothers and sisters, at the end of Jesus' life, God sent him an angel to strengthen him. Just like at the end of King David's life, the patrons of King David got a virgin or a damsel to come to give comfort to King David. That's the connection I want you to make on that. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, and we're going to be looking at this instruction as I read the verses to you. I see that we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
How many of you know the impossible doesn't intimidate God? God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less.
God will hear your prayer. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Mountains will be moved out of the way. So when we come to God, we come boldly. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we come to you in prayer today, and we believe.
Don't forget to pray, but don't be ashamed to pray, and don't be too proud to pray. Prayer changes things. I don't care how dark it looked for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. Prayer changes things.
God is honored when we come to Him. He's honored when we talk to Him. And He's willing to hear and answer our prayer. He says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If He can part the Red Sea, knock down the walls of Jericho, and if He can give us the Ten Commandments, He can answer any prayer we pray that fits His will and His plan for our life.
We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has trusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring His power down to earth. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. God is ready to act if we'll be bold enough to ask.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on the second instruction, and the instruction is Adonijah, King David's son, assumes the throne. That is the second instruction, and we're going to read about that in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5. 10. Listen to what it says. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared his chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah. Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rai and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of the Helith, which is by Egarol, and called all of his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, and the mighty men, and Solomon's son, he called not. Okay, so we see where Adonijah is assuming to be the king in place of his father, before his father died. Now let's look at our complement and see what we have. What is compared, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start with verse 14 and 15. And listen, this is Jesus telling us to beware of such an assumption to the throne. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. And then verse 23 through 25 completes the thought. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false prophets and false Christs, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. This is what Jesus said. And what is comparable is the fact Adonijah assumed the throne without his father's say-so. Jesus is saying there will be false prophets and false Christs coming to say that he has returned. Don't believe that until you know what the Bible says about it. And this is what I'm trying to share in this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to 1 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 28 through 34. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. King Solomon, King David, has Solomon anointed king in Israel. So you see, it is God doing that is what we respond to, not man's doing. And this is what we're reading about, that God is causing King Solomon to be anointed king in Israel by his father. Listen to what it says in chapter 1, verse 28 through 34. Then King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." And she came into the presence of the king and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swore unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face down to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." And King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. The king also said unto them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow your trumpets, and say, God save King Solomon." So we see that that King Solomon or King David is the one that followed God's ordinance and had King Solomon ordained or anointed king instead of Absalom. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 13 through verse 17 and listen to how God did the same with Jesus Christ. Listen to what happened to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." Thus he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting up upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." So we can see, as King David did for Solomon, God did for Jesus Christ. That's the comparison, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 1 still. We're going to be looking at verse 50 through 53. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Adonijah begs King Solomon pardon. So we see where Adonijah went before what was supposed to be, and when he realized his mistake, he begged King Solomon's pardon. And this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 50 through 53. It says, "And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself before King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, Go to thy house. So he was pardoned for making the mistake of assuming the throne not in line with what his father had determined. Now let's go to the book of Acts. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to get a compliment here. We're going to see how in the book of Acts the same is said, and it's concerning Paul. And it is in Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 6. And I see we're at the second break. Let's take that second break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Suppose he had all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the power in the whole world today and lost your soul. You see, the whole country is on a quest for something. In drugs, in sex, in entertainment, we want something. We don't quite know what it is. And it's elusive. We don't find it. We go on in our pleasures, thinking they're going to last forever, but they don't. Solomon was the great king of Israel, the son of David. His income was staggering. Nobody that ever lived in history could compare with Solomon in financial worth. Anything he could dream of, he had it. You know how many wives he had? 700. But that didn't satisfy. He had 300 concubines. Every pleasure at his beck and call. He thought it would bring the peace that he longed for. And then he said, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. It was a bubble that burst. It didn't satisfy. Something beyond it satisfies. What is it? What is it? Deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ. You see, sin is a disease. It's destructive. And we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned. What can we do about it? Come to the cross. Let Christ forgive your sins, change your life, turn you in a new direction, and give you a new mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the embodiment of all truth, and I can set you free. Free from your anxieties, free from your troubles and problems. We need to repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ. What is repentance? It means that you change your way of thinking. You change your way of living. It means that you're willing to turn over your life to Christ, turn over your life to God, and say, Oh, God, I need you. I receive you. And then by faith you receive Christ. Christ. Have you received him? Do you know him? God is speaking to you. Come to Christ.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 50 through 53. And, of course, we've read where Adonijah begs King Solomon's pardon. And as we compare with the New Testament, we're now turning your Bible sources to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 3 through 6. And this, in turn, is showing you where Paul, who was Saul, begs the pardon of Jesus Christ for trying to upset the church. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 6. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you shall do. And so we can see the comparison there. Adonijah listened to what King Solomon ordered him to do for his pardon, and so did Saul do what Jesus Christ ordered him to do for his pardon. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go to back to 1 Kings. This time we're going to look at chapter 2 in 1 Kings. We're going to look at verse 1 through 11. And this is what I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. King David's last request to King Solomon. This is what David asked his son to do before he died. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, but thou be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou dost, and wheresoever thou turn thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jetha, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness unto the sons of Bezaleli the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For they came to me when I fled before Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, and a Benjamite, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Maham. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoary head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers, and was bruised or buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. So David asked Solomon, his son, for these significant requests before he died. Now, comparing and agreeing or comparing, let us go to John chapter 19. Let's go to John chapter 19, And we're going to look at verse 25 through 27. And this is what Jesus, before he died, his last request to John, the Apostle John. Listen to what he said in chapter 19 of John, verse 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. So that's the compliment. It's showing where in Jesus, before his death, he gave that was honored by Apostle John. Okay, let's turn right back to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to read some more verses. And what I want you to understand or pay attention to during this reading is the instruction, King David's request fulfilled. So Solomon fulfilled the request of his father. And this is what he did. Chapter 2, verse 22 through 25, this is what it says. It says, And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, And why dost thou ask Abishad the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my elder brother, even for him, and for Abathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken his word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me, and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him, and he died. Now this was not actually what King David requested, but this is to show you how King Solomon shored up all of what was left that was hanging over his head also in his reign. And now we'll go to verse 29 to continue the thought. Unto the tabernacle of the Lord. And behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, Go fall upon him. And Benaniah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, Thus saith the king, Come forth. And he said, Nay, but I will die here. And Benaniah brought the king's word again, saying, Thus saith Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, Do as he hath said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. So that was the first request that David made to Solomon, and he secured it. Now let's listen to the next. Verse 44 completes the thought. Verse 44 through 46. The king said, Moreover, and I see we're at the next instruction, or the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with this lesson.
Who is Jesus to you? Ask yourself that question. Was he just a man? Was he just a prophet? Or was he just a good person? Was he just a man, or was he God? If he was just a man, he's been 6 feet under for 2,000 years. But if he was God, he's ruling on the throne as we speak. But who is he? Jesus, he is the creator of everything you see. He created it. There was no such thing as evolution. We did not come from animals. We come from heavenly royalty. We come from the creator Jesus. The planets did not form on their own. They were molded in God's hands. The same hand that made the universe was nailed to the cross for our sins. That's our God. He is the Redeemer. He gave us redemption when he died for us. He knew we needed redemption from sin. He came to set us free. He redeemed the lost cause. He redeemed the broken. He redeemed the sinners who came to him. If you have been broken to nothing, God will build you back into something for him. That's our God. He is the King of heaven and earth. Pilate once asked him, "Are you king?" And Jesus said, "Yes, but my kingdom is not of this world." He's been on the throne since the beginning of time, and no one can move him off of it. He rules with a righteous hand. He is clothed in white. He is majesty. He rules the world. He is the God of Israel. He once had a crown of thorns on his head, but in the future we will cast our crowns at his feet. That is our God. He is the ultimate judge. No enemy of God has a chance against him. His judgment is right, his judgment is just, and his judgment is final. Nothing gets by him, nothing escapes him. The enemy that comes against you today and makes life tough is going to have to face him. The person that tries to bring you down will have to look up at God. The person that plans against you will have to meet the God of all plans. In Romans 12:19, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." That's our God. He is the ultimate physician. Miracles happen in his name. Cancer, the coronavirus, is no match for our God. Sickness and disease vanish in his presence. He's the ultimate doctor. He's the ultimate healer. He is the cure for sickness and disease. That's our God. He is our friend. When we have nothing, we still have him. He's loyal. He never leaves your side. He never forsakes you. He never betrays you. He calls you his sons and daughters. He is for you, not against you. He is I Am. He is the Son of God. He is the Godhead, three in one. He is life. He is love. He is truth. And he wants you. He is the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep and took it up again. He protects you. He corrects you and guides you when the wolf in sheep's clothing tries to attack you. That's our God. He is the Father you've always wanted. He wants you. He loves you. He loves you more than life itself. That's why he died for you. He wants all of you and not a part of you. He wants the best for you and not the worst. If you were the only person on earth, his love for you still would have drove him to the cross. He did not let the Romans take his life, but he gave it up for you. He is perfect, and he saw past your flaws to love who you really are. You are the apple of his eye, but who is God to you? Was he just a man, or was he God? You will have to choose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at this new episode in the book of Kings. And of course, we know it is a chronology. It is giving us the exploits of certain individuals, more especially the first kings of Israel. We are looking at, you know, King David now, or King Solomon now, and we're looking at this particular instruction that King David's requests are fulfilled by his son. And we know what King David asked his son to take care of some unfinished business that was against him when he was living. And we're reading where King Solomon is doing that. And we're at 1 Kings chapter 2. We're looking at verse 44, and this is where it is completing of the request that King David made to his son, and he fulfilled it. Listen to what it says. The king said, moreover, to Shimei, "Thou knowest all the wickedness which thy heart is privy to, that thou did to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thy own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed. And the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." So the king commanded Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hands of Solomon. So that was the last request fulfilled by King David, and King Solomon completed it. Now, again, let's go back to the Old Testament compliment. We're going to John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. And we're going to reread again what Jesus asked as a final request to his apostle for his mother. And this is what was completed. It says, "Now there stood by the cross," and this is John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home." So that was the final request that Jesus made concerning his mother, and that is what his disciple fulfilled. And that is the compliment that is compared to what happened with King David and with King Solomon. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Kings chapter 3 this time, 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 12, 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 12, and this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Now, again, we're following the chronology, so as I have mentioned in the past, what I am doing is taking one instruction and sometimes more than one. And so that's what's given me this information that I'm sharing with you. So we're at 1 Kings chapter 3 and at verse 7 through 12. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Solomon asked God for wisdom. Okay? Solomon asked God for wisdom. And this is what chapter 3, verse 7 through 12 says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there be none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee." So you can see that God especially wants us to ask according to his will. That is the key, my brothers and sisters. Now, let's go to James chapter 1. We're going to look at James chapter 1, and we're going to see how the compliment gives us the same type of understanding. This is what James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 says. It says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Now, I should start with verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So this is telling us that wisdom is key. That is the will of God, that we receive his wisdom, my precious brothers and sisters. That's what we should be asking for. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to 1 Kings. We're going to go to 1 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter 3 in 1 Kings, and we're going to be reading verse 24 through 28 in 1 Kings, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Solomon displays that wisdom that God gave him. And this is one of the instances that Solomon does display the wisdom that God gave him that, of course, he requested. And this is in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 24 through 28. And I see that we're at the last break of the evening. Let's take this break, and then we'll come back, and we'll complete the lesson.
As a man thinketh, so is he. The power of your mind can transform impossible to possible. This book says nothing is impossible to you. And if you really believe that, that will transform your life. That's a fact. The power of your mind can transform I can't to I will.
I love you. And I couldn't save her.
Sorrow into joy, defeat into victory.
Sorry.
Stress into peace, doubt into faith. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Hidden in his heart means he memorized it. Do you read the Bible enough to have any of it memorized? Because when you get in a spiritual battle, you don't have time to listen to a tape series. Change your thoughts and you'll change your world. If you think you can, you will. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you will fail, you will fail. It's not what you're going through. It's what you're going to. God's word says nothing is impossible to those that believe. Say that with me. Nothing is impossible to those that believe. And when you start believing that simple verse, your life will never be the same. Give the Lord praise in the house.
The Bible says it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. It is with the mind that we serve the Lord. The mind is the battleground. It is the place where the greatest conflict is. There are more people in this room having trouble in their mind than there are people having trouble in their finances. The struggle is in your mind. This is why we have people who go to bed tired and wake up tired. Slept 8 hours and you wake up still tired. The reason you wake up tired is that you got sleep but you didn't get rest. Your mind has been in turmoil all night long. You've been wrestling in your sleep. Have you ever woke up and your bed was wet? The bed is all torn, just like you've been in a fight, because your mind has not rested. Your body went to sleep, but your mind is still caught up in a warfare. Your mind is the battleground. Pet somebody and tell them the enemy's after your mind. Out to worry you to death, out to stress you to death, out to break you down, out to make you quit, out to make you think that you can't get up, out to make you give up on your dream. The warfare is in your mind. It's not in your checkbook. It's not in your savings account. It's not on your job. The fight that you've got to fight is in your mind. And if you whip it in your head, you can whip it in your checkbook. You can whip it on your job. You can whip it out of your children. But you got to cry. Get out of your head.
Thank you.
You know what? The wall wasn't all that close and the room wasn't all that dark because God was there. God causes all things to work together for good. I knew he'd cause something good to come out of this. Did that stop the pain? No. But it made me assured of this. There's a limitation to it. And God sets a limitation to every trial, every heartache, every burden. We just have to respond the right way.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 24 through 28. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Solomon displays the wisdom that God gave him. So this is one of the instances of many. And this is the one that is in chapter 3 that I chose to share with you. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king. Her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child. And in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So that is the story in that instance that showed the wisdom of Solomon. Now let's go to our compliment. Turn with me to Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 24 through 29, and listen again how Jesus gives us the understanding of a wise man. Listen to what Jesus said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and does not do them, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Past when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. My precious brothers and sisters, that's the comparison. The wisdom of God is what will cause you to receive the salvation that you should be seeking. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn with me back to 1 Kings, chapter 4 this time. We're going to be looking at verse 29 through 34. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. That is so significant. And, of course, they have been lost to us today. But it is significant to note that he wrote more than just the Proverbs that we read about and the Psalm, one of the Psalms that he wrote in the 150. Check this out, my brothers and sisters. This is what verse 29 through 34 says. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and of all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ariphite, and Hermon the Chalo, and Darda, the sons of Vikol, and his fame was in all nations round about. 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in the Lebanon, even unto the hospice that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. So again, my brothers and sisters, this is saying to me, and I'm saying to you, that the wisdom of God is paramount. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and let's look at John chapter 21, verse 25. And in John chapter 21, verse 25, we're going to hear even what the Apostle John said about what Jesus said that was not recorded in our canons that has been lost as Solomon's songs and proverbs have been lost. Listen to what John said in John chapter 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So we can see from that alone, and that is critical to note, my brothers and sisters, that there are things that we have not received through inheritance. It has not been written down that was used by not only King Solomon in his day, but even in Jesus in his day. And so the point is to know that there is more. And so we should be striving to receive all that we can from what is written. And it is enough, I concede, if we were to encompass all of it as it has been written and passed on over the last 2,000 years about Jesus Christ. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, that is the last instruction that we're going to review this evening. And before I cast off, I would like to, I and my host would like to thank you, as we always do, for your participation and for your encouragement. And we would ask that you continue to share that with us. And we will now cast off and say good night.
Thank you for joining us tonight for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.